Hello, and welcome to an hour of Mind Power. This is Donna Sebo, and we have got, as always, a dynamic hour for you, and I'm so delighted that you're able to join me. Now, I want you to remember, as always, with the Donna Sebo Show, you've got to have a pad of paper and a pen handy, because you never know what you're going to hear you may want to make a note about, and then have it handy. This morning, we have a wonderful guest. And his name is William Borcher. And William, you are with us from Little River, South Carolina.
Yes, I am. And good morning, Donna, and how are you today?
Well, I'm doing wonderfully. I'm going to ask you to speak up a little bit, if you would, because your voice is coming through rather faint.
Okay.
So I want to be sure that our listeners hear you loudly and clearly. Now, I've been telling my listeners that you have put together this marvelous book on Lois Wilson, who is the wife of Bill Wilson. But before we get into Lois's story, which is a phenomenal love story, it is not only a love story, but the story of personal achievement, accomplishment, dealing with challenges that most people wouldn't even be bothered with. I want to tell my listeners about you. You're an acclaimed author, screenwriter, and a film producer. You had a series of interviews with Lois Wilson, which enabled you to write this magnificent biography of her life. But you also have written the Emmy-nominated screenplay for the celebrated Warner Brothers Hallmark Hall of Fame movie, My Name is Bill W.
Yes, that was quite a privilege.
Yes, and it's just an incredible movie. And you have reported for a New York City daily newspaper. You've been involved with a major media wire service. You've written and are continuing to write for national magazines. You've done syndicated shows for radio. And you're involved as a partner in Artists Entertainment Complex. And you've produced several box office hits, two of which are Serpico and Dog Day Afternoon. Here you are, a man of such tremendous accomplishment. Serpico, I will have to tell you, affected me so strongly when I saw it, when it first came out. That was one of the most powerful movies I have ever experienced. And I thought that was an incredibly well-done production. Little did I ever imagine that I would be interviewing a man that was very much involved in making that come about. However, Lois Wilson is a whole different venue. Lois Wilson, the book, the Lois Wilson story, When Love is Not Enough, really touched my heart and mind in a very, very significant way. Bill, I would like for you to share your personal story about how Lois came into your life and how she touched your life.
I met Lois through my wife, Bernadette, and Bernadette asked me to come up to her home. We were living in a town called Rye, New York at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And Lois Wilson lived in a town called Bedford Hills, and her home, which is called Stepping Stones. And when I met her, I was bowled over by this little, tiny, charming woman who was about 86, 87 years old at the time, but full of life. And as she began to tell me about her husband, because she loved to talk about Bill, I suddenly realized that I was in the presence of history. And I was in the presence of a powerful story. And before the afternoon was over, I also recognized I was in the presence of a powerful movie. And because she liked my wife and had such confidence in her, she gave me permission to do a movie about her husband and the founding of Alcoholics Anonymous. And that's how the movie came about. But in the course of putting it together, Lois was so generous with her time. The more we got to know each other, the more confidence she trust she put in me. And I guess I wound up with about 10 hours of tape-recorded interviews where she told me the whole story, and warts and all, and it was just wonderful. And that's why I was able to write that movie in such great detail, and why it touched so many people, and why Jimmy Woods won the Academy, or, excuse me, he won the Emmy as Best Actor for playing Bill Wilson.
Bill Wilson has been the focus of so much relative to Alcoholics Anonymous. That organization has touched the lives of millions of people around the world. And that's very significant. The woman behind the story was just as significant. And she ended up, Lois did, founding Al-Anon. But let's go into a little bit of her background. First, I want to say that she lived to be 97 years of age, and she died on October 5th, 1988. And she still today is an inspiration for so many people. But let's go back into the journey. She came from the upper class.
Well, she was the daughter of a very wealthy physician from Brooklyn Heights, New York, which was then and still is a very elite section of New York.
Mm-hmm.
And Bill Wilson came from a family that quarried granite in Vermont. His father was a granite worker and an alcoholic, but people didn't call them alcoholics back then. They called them drunks. And they said they came from two entirely different worlds. But when they met, they fell desperately in love, head over heels in love. And then Lois said from the moment she met Bill, she saw somebody who was destined, she said, for greatness. Of course, it took many, many years for him to begin to achieve what she saw in him because of his alcoholic drinking. And she put up with 17 years of it.
Now, in our terminology today, when we would talk about codependency, enablers, and other terms, these terms were not in existence at that time.
Oh, not at all. Nobody knew about the disease of alcoholism. Donna, the fact that they thought alcoholics were crazy people or weak-willed, immoral people. They used to hide them in basements or lock them in the attics or put them in sanitariums. They didn't know. No one understood. And the families didn't understand how they were also impacted by the disease of alcoholism. Lois never knew, you know, how she was changing inside because of all the lies she told to cover up for her husband, all the shame that she was going through, all the enabling that she was doing. You know, she thought she was doing all this because she loved him and could help him. She thought she could love him sober. She thought her love would be enough to get him sober, but it wasn't. And that's why I call the book When Love Is Not Enough.
And there was tremendous love between the two of them. Now, Bill Wilson was really a genius in so many ways.
He was absolutely a genius.
Tell us a little bit about his background and the brightness and the brilliance of his mind.
Well,
and how he undermined himself.
World War One, he was the first lieutenant fighting in France and came home. They had been married just before the war broke out. By the way, this story is set against a great period of American history. You know, it goes through the World War One and the Roaring Twenties and the stock market crash and the Great Depression and Prohibition, and they lived through it all.
Mm-hmm.
When he came back, he got on Wall Street, and he recognized that people were investing in companies they knew nothing about. So he talked Lois into going with him on a motorcycle trip across the country where he could, you know, investigate companies and find out what was happening in these companies and report back to investors. And so he became the first, you know, financial analyst, if you would, in Wall Street. And by 1928, he was worth over $500,000.
1928. What would that be in today's money?
$500,000? Multi-millions.
Awesome.
Awesome is right. Awesome. They lived in a luxury apartment, also in Brooklyn Heights. But his drinking began to get him into serious trouble. You know, he began at parties or at dinners, and he wound up insulting customers, and wound up causing trouble in the stock brokerage firms and on the golf courses, and so people didn't want to be around him anymore. So by 1929. By the time the market crashed, you know, the great 29 crash, he was losing everything. And he wound up after the crash with nothing. They lost everything, the luxury apartment and all the money they had. And they wound up having to move in with her father back in Clinton Street, Brooklyn, the house where she was born and raised. And it was a very shameful period in her life.
Now, was this Dr. Strong? Was that the man who was her father?
No, Dr. Burnham.
Dr. Burnham.
Dr. Burnham was her father.
All right.
But Dr. Strong married Bill's sister.
All right. Now, Dr. Silkworth.
Dr. Silkworth was a physician at a place called Towns Hospital in New York, which was back then a very famous rehabilitation clinic. A lot of famous men and women used to check in there, like Jackie Gleason, for example, and famous actors and actresses to dry out. And so Dr. Silkworth got to know about a lot about alcoholism. And Bill went through Towns Hospital on four different occasions. And finally, in 1934, he had a spiritual experience while he felt he was dying in the hospital. And he reached out and he said, if there was a God, please help me. And he felt that God, you know, was in his room. But he also felt that, you know, now that he was sober, in order to stay sober, he had to go out and help other alcoholics. So he got a Bible and began to preach up and down the Bowery.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody got sober, but Bill stayed sober. And Lois said to him, you know, while you're trying to help these other people, you're helping yourself more.
Absolutely.
And so then he wound up going to Akron on the business trip, which was an utter failure. And he was tempted to drink at the Mayflower Hotel, pacing up and down the lobby, about to go into the bar. And instead he ran into a phone booth, remembering what Lois had told him, that if he could help another alcoholic, he could help himself. And he began to call ministers and priests all over town, asking if they knew where he could find another alcoholic. Most of them hung up on him because they thought he was nuts. But one minister did know an alcoholic in town and put them together, and it was a fellow named Dr. Robert Smith, a drunken physician in Akron, Ohio. And together they found out that they could stay sober by sharing their experiences. Then they tried out on a third man, and it worked, and a fourth man, and it worked. And that was the beginning of Alcoholics Anonymous. June 10th, 1935.
Now, for those of you that are just tuning in to the broadcast this morning, we're talking with William G. Borchette and his wonderful book, The Lois Wilson Story. Now, I know we've been talking about Bill Wilson, but you needed a little bit of information about Bill Wilson. We have two books to give away this morning, and this is When Love Is Not Enough. This is a fabulous love story, as William has said, that is put behind or put in front of a backdrop of history that is just absolutely incredible. A lot of what we understand today is here today for us to understand because of what Bill and Lois went through. Now, Lois was an extremely intelligent woman. When we look at the era that she came up through, when we look at the fact she came from a very high-end environment, was educated, was so talented, she was totally unaware of how much of an enabler she had been. She was very protective about him,
mm-hmm.
very protective about him. When did Lois begin to understand that she had just as much of a challenge to face with alcoholism, though she was not an alcoholic herself, as her husband did?
Well, when Bill got sober and came back to New York and began to build the program of Alcoholics Anonymous, she felt now he was sober, that's all she wanted was a sober husband, that once he got sober, they'd be happy together. This is the way it is in a lot of families, by the way. They think that once the alcoholic stops drinking, everything's going to be fine. But Lois found out she was not the happy camper she thought she should be, and she couldn't understand why. And so one night they had a big argument, because they were about to lose the house. Her father had moved out and left it for them to pay the mortgage.
Mm-hmm.
He wasn't working. He was building AA, helping alcoholics. She had a small job at Macy's, wasn't making enough money to pay the mortgage. She wanted to talk to him about it, and he didn't have enough time because he was busy helping his drunks.
Mm-hmm.
And she went out on the front porch. First of all, she threw a shoe at him. She was so angry.
Well, that's better than a cast iron skillet.
Right. And that night, every Thursday night, they had a meeting, an AA meeting at their home in the parlor. Lois went out on the porch, and she saw all these cars on the block. And she noticed that there was a woman sitting in each car, and she invited them into her house. And they all came in, sat at a kitchen table. She served them tea and cookies. And she said to me, by the way, I should mention that I knew Lois for 14 years.
Mm-hmm.
We became very, very close friends. And it wasn't just that one interview. We had many, many talks together over the years. And so she shared so many. And I remember when she shared this evening with me, it was incredible. She said these ladies sat around, there were about 10 of them, she said. And they sat around a table, and they looked on the outside, she said, like she felt on the inside. Very angry, very bitter. And when Lois told them that she had thrown a shoe at her husband because she got so angry, and she couldn't understand why, now that he was sober, she was so angry.
Mm-hmm.
They all started talking. Oh, man, they began to share their anger. And about all the things their husbands had done to them and to the family and so on and so on. And then all of a sudden they had heard laughter coming from the parlor, from the AA meeting. And they got twice as angry. And one of them said to Lois, listen to that. They're in there having fun and we're out here suffering from all that they did to us. And Lois said, no, I don't think so. I think they're in there getting well and we're out here sick and getting sicker. And she told me it was that incident that helped her begin to look at herself for the very first time. She realized there was something wrong with her, and she needed a change.
Mm-hmm.
And what she did is she adopted the steps that Bill and Dr. Bob put together for AA, and she adopted them for her to live by, and she began to share them with the other ladies. And that was really the early beginnings of Al-Anon. And even though it took many more years for it to formally come together, that was the beginning, and it began to work for her and the other ladies.
I want to share a few of the comments that you have here in the book. And this one is the chapter, Recovery for Whom? And it's a statement, alcoholism runs much deeper than its obvious physical signs. It's made up of all the low self-esteem, self-pity, anger, resentment, greed, jealousy, and other character defects and shortcomings that drive the alcoholic to find comfort and relief from such feelings in another drink. And then I wanted to share that Lois made a comment. She said, even though I'd known it deep down inside, it struck me so clearly this particular night that I was as addicted to Bill as he was to alcohol. I also now saw that I wasn't alone in how it had affected me, that every spouse of every alcoholic I've ever known also becomes terribly affected by this disease. Those are extremely insightful and powerful statements.
They are so. And Donna, that's why more and more people in government and social organizations, recovery organizations, are beginning to recognize Lois's contribution, that she's beginning to be recognized as one of the most important women, the most influential women of the 20th century. Because without her, none of this would have happened. Bill would not have survived. He would have died. She kept him alive. She nurtured him.
Mm-hmm.
Without her, she would not have discovered the family disease of alcoholism, how wives, husbands, children, relatives, friends are all impacted and all get sick. And without her, there would not be over 300 other groups today in the world using the 12 steps for other things, like Gamblers Anonymous, Overeaters Anonymous, Narcotics Anonymous, Sex Anonymous, on and on and on. So, you know, her achievement was powerful. And so she's primarily responsible for one of the greatest social movements of the 20th century.
Lois was a woman of tremendous faith. And she never believed in coincidences.
Never.
Ever since she was a child, she believed that everything happened for a reason, not by accident. And she called them God shots.
Right.
I like that one, the God shots. Here comes another one, or there goes another one.
Right.
Whatever positioning you want to take. This was a woman of tremendous faith, and she was very deeply involved with Al-Anon for a number of years, even after Bill passed away. When she went through this with other women, it takes a lot of courage for anyone, whether you're male or female, when you've gone through tremendous pain or you're growing into what you realize is the real you and you have to look at what you know you don't want to have any longer in your space and you have to be consciously present with your decisions. This was a process that she went through where she really, almost on a daily basis, would acknowledge that she had to accept 100% responsibility for who she was and what she was.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Now, how did that affect her relationship with Bill?
It made them partners. She once said to me, they had to come full circle to get back together again. Isn't that something? And she said this disease parted them and then brought them back together in the end. Because she found out, as you've just very clearly pointed out, and as we've discussed, that she was impacted by the same disease, that she had developed the same kind of character defects, that she was angry, she was jealous, she was disappointed, she was bitter, she was all these things. And again, What happened was when she met these ladies in the kitchen, first of all, she thought she was the only one going through this.
Mm-hmm.
So many families, the wives or the husbands or the children, think they're unique. They're the only ones going through this. And when Lois met all these ladies, she realized they were all going through the same thing. And that as they began to share, it made the burden lighter. And then as they began to share how they could get well, it made it even better. And so then that's when Lois began to share with people far and wide. She traveled the country later on and shared this program with the world. She traveled the world with Bill before he passed away and spread Al-Anon all over the world. Do you know Al-Anon, like AA today, is in over 130 countries around the world?
Oh, for heaven's sake.
130 countries, and it saved millions of lives and has restored millions of families and continues to. Because before Lois passed away, she created something called the Stepping Stones Foundation, which is a foundation which is basically her home in Bedford Hills, New York. And the monies that maintain the home and grounds all come from the books that she and Bill wrote. And also the money is used to put on seminars, to send out educational material, to work with various organizations, to carry the message of alcoholism, that it is a disease that you can recover from and that families can recover from. So her work continues on right through this day.
Yes, and we'll touch on that too. Now, for those of you that might be interested, we have two books to give away this morning, free. All you have to do is call into this toll-free number, 877-876-5227. That's 877-876-5227, and you can get your free copy of the Lois Wilson story. If you know of anyone who's going through challenges, who's dealing with alcoholism, is a recovering alcoholic, this would make a wonderful gift for them. And if nothing else, educate yourself. It is so important to understand that there's a lot more that goes on in environments where people have addictions. And I think it's important for us to educate ourselves. Bill, I wanted to share with the fact that in 1985, Lois Wilson received the prestigious Humanitarian Award from the National Council on Alcoholism, now the National Council on Alcoholism and Drug Dependence. And this was an organization founded by Marty Mann, who was the very first woman to recover within Alcoholics Anonymous. And she had passed away in 1980 at the age of 76. Now, Lois is in her 90s when she's receiving this.
That's right. That's right.
And this is such a gracious, gracious woman. She was 94 when she was honored about this. But Lois had such a wonderful attitude. She was a woman that had a big vision.
Mm-hmm.
And it was her vision. It wasn't Bill's vision.
No.
It was her vision. It was complementary to what Bill's vision had. But
right.
She did this because she wanted to do something for herself and for others. And she said it takes only one person to start something, but many others to carry it out. And her vision was that of a worldwide Al-Anon fellowship, and she would talk about the spirituality of the program always pointing towards Al-Anon's common purpose of recovery and service to others.
Mm-hmm.
Not servitude, but service.
Right.
And there's a big difference in those
big
words.
Difference. She also believed that as this grew and as other groups began to use the same steps, that one day the world might learn to live by these 12 steps and the world would be a wonderful, peaceful place because everybody would be doing the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
She really believed in that philosophy. People have asked me, why did you write the book? First of all, I wrote it because, you know, this story had to be told. And I had all these tapes. When my wife and I built a home here in South Carolina, I didn't even know where these tapes were anymore, and I was emptying a box one day and I found them at the bottom of the box.
Mm-hmm.
And I put one of the tapes in, and out comes Lois's voice. And I felt very, very guilty, because in the movie My Name is Bill W., there wasn't much time to tell her story.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was all about the founding of AA. And I said, her story needs to be told. And then as I began to do my research, you know, you can't help but get into some statistics. And I found out there were over 40 million alcoholics in this country alone.
40 million?
40 million alcoholics. This is according to the AMA and the government's Center for Health and Special Services. and that each alcoholic affects at least four or five other people in their life. The husband affects the wife affects the husband, they affect the children, and so on and so forth. Which means there are over 150 million people in this country impacted by the disease.
Mm-hmm.
And most of them don't know where to go or what to do, Donna. And that's why this, you know, I know it sounds like I'm really plugging, but this book should be on every coffee table in every house in the country. This is a book every family needs to read. Plus, people tell me, like you, that it's a wonderful and a very exciting and dramatic book to read.
Well, it is a book that touches not just the heart and the mind. It also makes one aware of how vulnerable any one of us can be in our lives, depending on what we go through.
Mm-hmm.
And that taking in a position of personal responsibility. And Bill, for example, was a very hardworking man.
Mm-hmm.
But there was so much pain he had carried for so much of his life that the alcohol was a way for him to release some of that, he thought, but it became very self-destructive.
Yes.
And then he was embarrassed, and it was a downward spiral from there. And, of course, there's the physical chemistry that is affected. Some people, you know, it's just a little bit of something that works. But this can happen on so many different levels in so many different ways. So it's not just, your book is not just about alcoholism. I think that it is a book about human nature and how, yes, it could follow a patterning of alcoholism, but like you said, there could be gambling, it could be any number of venues. And it's important for us to understand how we must recognize our positioning within a certain structure and how we want to handle it or what we want to do with it. And here's Lois married to a man for so many years, and people would say, why? And I love your response, because she sincerely loved him, number one.
Mm-hmm.
And number two, she had a very strong sense of commitment. She was a fighter.
Right.
And number three, she realized that this was something that was of value, but she had to change herself, and
right.
She took responsibility for that, too. It's
right.
A powerful book. It's a powerful story. And, again, we have two to give away this morning, 877-876-5227. Call that number, and we'll be happy to get a free copy out to you. Bill, we're almost out of time. What would you like to leave my listeners with in a way of a thought?
Well, that is a tremendous love story. And that Lois always told me that she always, when Bill was really in terrible, terrible condition, recall why she married him in the first place. That their love was still there, and that she needed to separate what was happening with them then from that great love. That she could love him and still, you know, live her own life, which became, you know, one of the Al-Anon traditions, you know. And I guess the thing is that this is the story of a heroic lady who did so much to help the world and has continued to do so much to help the world. And we don't have that many great American heroes around anymore, and she sure is one great American hero.
She was such a beautiful young woman and such a pretty, mature woman that when you look at the photographs of them, and there's one here of Bill and Lois together at their home in Bedford Hills, and it was taken in the 60s, you see so much courage in the face of each of them, and there is that love also that's being expressed. Bill, I want to thank you so much for being my guest this morning. Your website, if anybody wants to go to that, it's theloiswilsonstory.com. Theloiswilsonstory.com. William G. Borchette, I call him Bill. I want to thank you so much for being my guest today. It's been an absolute delight.
Thank you for the privilege of being with you, Donna.
It's a pleasure.
Right.
We are taking a break now. When we come back, phone lines will be open if you'd like to chat. But meanwhile, give us a call if you'd like a book, 877-876-5527. Don't go away. Lots of good things to share with you in the Donna Sebo Show. We'll be right back. Hi, this is Donna Sebo with the Hour of Mind Power. Again, we have a toll-free number. If you'd like to get a copy of the Lois Wilson story, we have two books to give away. The telephone number to call in to is 877-876-5527. 877-877-5227. That's 877-876-5227. Now, that very same number, if you would like for me to light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight, give me a buzz, because we'll be able to do that this morning. I want to bring up a public appearance that I'm going to be involved with. It is the Washington Renaissance Fantasy Fair. We're going into my fifth year being involved. This is one of the most spectacular events, and no matter where you are in the country, you may want to travel out to the state of Washington for this, because it is awesome. During the first three weekends of August, which is the 5th and 6th, 12th, 13th, 19th, and 20th, this wonderful event is being staged at the Minter Creek Ranch, and that's at 10215 SR302 in Gig Harbor, Washington. Now, you can get information on this by going to their website, Washington Ren Fair. That's Washington, RENSAIRE.com. And you can get discount tickets. You'll be able to print your ticket online. You'll get all kinds of information. This has to be such a wonderful, doesn't have to be, it is a wonderful, wonderful event that, because I've participated in it for a number of years, it is just something I get so excited about, because, first of all, I get to dress up in Renaissance costumes. And who doesn't like to dress up and wear some kind of costume? It's just absolutely wonderful. And even the people coming out to the fair often will get themselves all decked out in these Renaissance fair outfits. We have all kinds of people. We have what we call Muddy Mary, who is the beggar woman that goes around, and she actually does smear herself with mud, and she has her baking bowl. And we have fairies, we have goblins, we have knights in shining armor on these magnificent horses. There's dancing, there's storytelling. That's got eight stages where there's entertainment going on all day long. You have vendors that have products from all over the world. And when you step through the front gate, you enter into a different time zone. And it is so much fun. So I want to invite you, bring your family. You can even bring your dog if it's on a leash. And just look up on the web, WashingtonRenFair.com, and it will be an experience that you will be absolutely thrilled with. And I'm going to have a booth there, and just look for the booth that has bright yellow banners with red lions on it, and that is the one that I will be in. I believe I'm going to be on Main Street there in the Renaissance Village, so I would look forward to seeing all of you, or any of you that are going to be able to come out. It's a fabulous, fabulous event. You're not going to want to miss it. Donna Sebo here. Telephone lines are open. And if you would like to chat with me, give me a buzz at 877-876-5227. And I'll be delighted to light up your life with a little bit of insight. During this time of the year, I don't know where you are as a listener, but when the summer months come along, sometimes we wonder what we should do with the kids. Well, why not let them sleep out in the yard? Now, my husband and I happened to be out walking, and we do this regularly. We do about 5 miles when we go on our walking excursions, 5 miles or more. And we went through this one neighborhood we had not walked through before. And we saw this family setting up a tent out in the front yard. And we thought, well, that's interesting. Well, it dawned on me they were going to have some kind of a party or an event, and the people were going to be able to set, or the kids were going to be able to be out in the yard, and they were using the tent. And I thought, that really is a good idea. It's a wonderful time of the year to be able to sleep out under the stars. Now, maybe you are saying, gee, I'd love to do that. I'd like to go camping, but I just don't have the time. Or maybe you just, you know, something or other, it's just, you just don't have the stuff to go on the camping trip. Well, you can take the backyard vacation, and kids just absolutely love it, and you can set everything up, and you can have the blankets, and the kids will just have the time of their life. Now, one of the things you can do if you have kids and you wanted to have a backyard camp out, get a local sky map, and you can get one of these for free, and this is the website that you can go to find out about sky maps, and that's exactly what it is. It's skymaps.com, skymaps.com. And what you see in the night sky depends on wherever you are, the season and the time. So here you can use this as a guide, and it's fascinating to kids. They just love it. Also, let them take their flashlights with them. And if you cover the flashlight, the lighted end with red paper, it doesn't disrupt night vision as much as white light does. Yeah, so that would be fun for them. And you can help them map the stars on the map with those in the sky to find the Big Dipper, the Little Dipper, the North Star, etc. And it's just so much fun. And it's not going to cost you a whole bunch of money. And it's a great way to spend time with kids. So why not have a backyard party? And let the kids come up with their own ingenious ideas of what they want to do. I can remember when I used to go up camping when I was a kid, one of the things we liked to do was tell ghost stories. It was really a lot of fun. So I don't know what memories you have, but there's so many things that you can do. There's so many wonderful things that you can do that don't have to cost you a whole bunch of money. And especially if you're a young family, you often are very concerned about doing things that are going to be economically comfortable for you. So why not look at something like that as an option? And the kids will remember it all of their lives. And you'll have a blast, too, because it's just totally laid-back, comfortable, and casual, and it's an adventure. Now, here in the Northwest, we have so much cloud cover in the sky, lots of times you'd be hard-pressed to find the stars. But we might get lucky. But there are a lot of things that you can do. Just invent something for that outdoor activity. It's great for kids. Now, remember, earlier this week, I was talking to you about chakras, and I covered a couple of them. And the reason I brought it up is that so many people are interested in these energy centers. And Philomena Lila Desi is a woman that's very much involved in the work with Reiki therapy. And she said, it's so easy when you understand how to work with these energy centers in your body, how you can become aware of what you can do for yourself. And if you want to banish the blues, for example, what you need to focus on is your heart chakra. And, of course, that's at the center of the chest. And all you need to do to strengthen that, if you're feeling sort of down in the dumps, is to give yourself a big hug. And she said it helps to get rid of the blues. It's just something that when you focus on that and you detach from this emotion that you're going through and just focus on that heart chakra, then that can make a difference. Also, she said if you want to be more decisive, you need to focus on the brow chakra, which is between the eyebrows. It's also called the third eye. And she said to strengthen that, you need to daydream. Letting your mind wander, she said, will relax your brain's alpha and theta waves, allowing the chakra's power to come through and help you see things more clearly. Also, you know, visualization makes a great deal of difference in your life. And when you can see things clearly in your mind's eye, it really can help you sometimes make some breakthroughs in barriers that you would like to pass through, put behind you, and get your life back on track. So there's just a couple of tips there regarding the chakras, and at another time I'll cover the others. We have three others that, and how to get more confidence and speak your mind more easily and how to feel more centered. There's so many areas that we can always improve ourselves in. I was talking with a friend earlier this morning, and she said, you know, we're all teachers and we're all students. And I think that's so true. We all are. You never stop learning. For heaven's sake, your life would be so boring if you did. Aren't you glad you are who you are? If you're not, you need to make it okay that you are who you are and that you can learn how to grow and expand your talents. Don't beat yourself up. You don't need to compare yourself with anybody else. Remember, you're the one that's occupying this physical vehicle itself, and it's up to you to take responsibility for who you are and to understand that you have just about everything you could possibly need, but it's discovering it and making it okay that you've got it. I want to share with you, having spoken about chakras, there was a lady by Tess in Oneida, New York, and I know we've got a caller, and I'm going to get to that caller in just a moment. I've got to share this with you. She said, one morning as her 2.5-year-old daughter, Rebecca, played, she decided to do some yoga. And when she started, her daughter said, what you doing, Mommy? And she responded, it's exercise, dear. It's to help Mommy find her center. And when she said that, Rebecca looked at her very funny, and she said, I found it, Mommy. And she poked her mom in the belly. She said, there's your center. Don't you love the logic of kids? Let's go to our first caller this morning. Welcome to the show. First name or initial, and where are you calling from?
This is Linda, Donna, and I'm calling from Florida.
From Florida. Now, where are you in Florida?
I'm in Central Florida by Orlando.
Oh, wow. Gorgeous area. Oh, it's just so beautiful there.
Yes, it is.
And welcome to the show. I'm so delighted that you're calling in. Now, Linda, as I'm looking at you, you've really got to stay grounded, hon. You've got so much energy, and you've got so many ideas, and you have wanted to really, really move forward with tremendous speed. I'm looking at you literally, and the symbolism is coming through my head. It's like a huge piston, and you have pulled your positioning back as a piston, and now you are wanting to go boom, and you're wanting to have that energy and activity and everything move. Pistons generate energy. They generate flow. And that's a mechanical description that I'm getting in my mind, but you're a powerhouse. You must make it okay that you move a little bit more slowly. You want to direct your energy and your concentration with a focus that is going to allow a smoothness to evolve. You do not want to hit hard, fast, and heavy, and then you go, oops, I can't move anymore. You want to develop a rhythm. You want to develop a sense of, I can do this, and I can do it in a rhythm that allows me to maintain my energy, to maintain my focus, and not to feel like I'm going to be forced to drop the ball. Now, this is in relationship to developing a better income for yourself. This is in relationship to other people that are in your life that you feel like you want to move past and leave behind.
Okay.
This is in relationship to also the progression of where you want to be. And you've got a 4-year cycle that you're moving through. And I want you to be patient with yourself. You don't have to slow down to a crawl. I want you to develop a rhythm. And when you do that, you'll be able to then enjoy the times when you have to coast because things just aren't moving as fast as you want. You won't get uptight over that. You'll take those opportunities of lull, and you will say, okay, I can move with this. I'll go and I'll bake some cookies, or I'll go out sitting out in the sun, or I'll just go down to some place and volunteer my time. It's okay. Everything else is moving. It's in a rhythm. And I will make it okay to have the quiet time for myself when the lulls come in. And believe me, they're going to be there.
Well, Donna, yes. I did. You know, I wanted to call in so badly, and I thought there were so many things I wanted to ask you, and you're answering everything that I wanted to ask you. And I am starting to be aware that I have to slow down.
Good.
Just the last couple of days, Donna, I wanted to ask you. You started talking about Reiki. And may I ask you a question about Reiki?
Well, you may, but I'm not an expert on it. But go ahead and ask me a question.
I do Reiki, I've taken Reiki 1 and Reiki 2.
Mm-hmm.
And I know I'm with the white light because I stay humble and I don't let ego interfere with Reiki. But what bothers me, Donna, is when I hear people say they'll see angels around me, and
mm-hmm.
when I went from Reiki 1 to Reiki 2, it was a beautiful experience for me with my attunement. But my Reiki master said the room was filled with cherubs and angels. I cried with joy. But, Donna, I don't know why I don't see that.
Oh, for heaven's sake, don't worry about that.
Okay, because then that's where the doubt comes in.
Let me tell you why.
Okay.
Often, and this is my perspective, this is what I'm looking at.
Okay.
When you're getting a response like that, and you are with people that are recognizing this, why do you need to worry about whether you see it or not? What you need to do is acknowledge and accept the fact that they are recognizing this. I think that when this happens, because of how we're indoctrinated, depending on what we've come up through in life and what our experiences have been, we'll feel like maybe we've been deprived. You're not being deprived at all. The fact that other people are looking at this and in their perspective of vision, they are seeing particular things, accept it graciously and say thank you to whatever is being in your space on whatever level it is expressing itself. Just be grateful for it.
Okay.
And know that your awareness for you may take a whole different picture. If you are the facilitator that is the vehicle, and maybe I'm being redundant in using the words that way, but you are facilitating through your physical vehicle the energies that are necessary to bring in harmony to someone that there is in disharmony. That is a wonderful gift. Not everybody can do that.
Okay.
And the fact that you have support on so many different levels and others are recognizing that, just be grateful and keep doing.
Oh, you know, because Donna, what I thought, because what I'm battling in my golden years is truth. I don't see the truth in people, and it seems like I always get duped.
Okay, hon, so I want to stop you for just a minute. Stay on the line. I need to take a break here for just about a minute or so, and when we come back, then we'll finish, okay?
Okay, fine.
All right, this is Donna Sebo. We are going to take a break for a moment, and when we come back, we'll continue with Linda in Florida. And by the way, if you want a free book also, you'll be able to call in to 877-876-5227. And if you haven't been able to get through, call me at my office and I can get you a free book too. And my office number is 800-872-8852. We're taking a break. We'll be right back. Hi, this is Donna Sebo. And I just want to mention again, don't forget, and you're going to be hearing me mention this all the way through the month of August, the Washington Renaissance Fantasy Fair. I am going to be appearing there for 3 weekends in a row. This is a fair. It's a family event, and it's absolutely awesome. Now, that's August 5th, 6th, 12th, 13th, 19th, and 20th. This is at the Mentor Creek Ranch at 10215 SR 302 in Gig Harbor, Washington. I encourage you to go to the website, WashingtonRenFair.com. That's Washington, RenSaire.com. And this is such a wonderful experience. You will see the wonderful knights and the king and queen and their magnificent court. The costumes that people have at these events are just absolutely mind-boggling, so gorgeous. And I have such a good time watching the children, because the children, their eyes get so big and they get so excited when they see these giant horses that the knights are jousting on, and also the wonderful costumes, again, that we're all wearing. And yes, we all have to wear costumes. It's just a joy to be able to dress up for this wonderful event. 3 weekends of great family fun. Again, jousting, equestrian events, sword fighting, gypsy dancing, Celtic music, 8 stages of entertainment going on through the entire day. The hours are from 9 until 6. And go and get your discounted rates and tickets right online at WashingtonRenFair.com. And there's an 800 number you can call to get more information. That's 800-359-5948. And look for my booth. It'll have bright yellow banners, huge banners with red lions on them. And then I will be in costume there, and I'm doing many consultations as well. So I'll be delighted to meet with you while I'm there. Well, now let's get back to Linda in Florida. And Linda,
yes,
you had, before we went on break, you were talking about how you were so concerned about certain things. Well, let's get to your direct question.
Okay, well, I guess my question is doubt. I believe in God. I know there's a God.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes I doubt when people will tell me when they see the angels and fairies and some of their experiences, because I know I'm with the white light, and I don't experience that.
Well, why is that so important to you?
Because I think it's a beautiful experience for someone to have.
All right. But remember, their experience may not be your experience. You may have an entirely different experience. What you're trying to do is put yourself into a box. So often we will do this. And the reason I say it is because I've been there myself.
Okay.
We'll look at what someone else expresses, and we'll say, wow, I wish I had that. And
yeah,
that's natural. There's nothing wrong with that kind of a feeling. But you are an individual. And as an individual, you will have experiences that nobody else is going to be able to relate to either.
Well, Don, I think with me, it's just, you know, that maybe it was like I'm feeling that I'm not someone as equal as someone, is that they could have such
a fiddle-dee-dee. That has nothing to do with it.
Yeah.
Absolutely nothing to do with it. What you're trying to do is put yourself into a box. You're trying to make it that, gee, if so-and-so had this experience, it means I'm not worthy. That has nothing whatsoever to do with it. That would be just like an artist saying, well, I can't paint a Picasso, so I should never try to do art. That's ridiculous. there are 10 gazillion ways that you can do art. And it can be in music, it can be in wood, it can be in leaves. There's just no limit to what can be done. So your lesson, I think, your lesson at this moment in time is to make it okay just to be who you are and to accept yourself as who you are, delight in the expressions of communication these people are trying to convey to you, their concepts and perceptions, and just look at it and say, isn't that wonderful? And take joy in being who you are, because you will have experiences of your own that when you share them with others, they're going to say to you, oh my goodness, I wish I could be like you.
Yeah. Well, and Donna, in all honesty, I've had some beautiful experiences. I was sick for a while.
Okay, hon, I have to say this to you. We are out of time.
Oh, okay.
Linda, I've got to go,
right.
And I'm not meaning to be rude, dear, but our time is gone.
All right. Well, thank you, Donna, for your time.
You are more than welcome. Share the information with your friends about bbsradio.com.
Yes, thank you, Donna.
You're welcome, dear.
Have a good day. Bye-bye.
This is Donna Sebo. My goodness, the hour has just flown by. I want to thank all of you for supporting the show, for supporting BBS Radio. And remember, the shows are going to be archived so you can listen to them at your leisure. Tell your friends. Remember also, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. God bless. You have a fabulous, fabulous weekend. And we'll be talking with you on Monday. And oh, so much other good stuff to share. Bye for now.
You have been listening to BBS Radio, a blogandservice.com production and a service to others endeavor. Thank you very much for tuning into our radio program, and we wish you much peace and joy on your journey.